Fire. Okay. Come on. Hey, if you can get your seats, we got to get rolling because it's after 11 already. And praise God. All right, everybody good? We're going to get started. There's a couple of things I want to do. Commercial break. Let me give you a commercial break real quick. You might want to write some dates down because I'm going to talk to you about the next school, okay? And I'm pretty excited about it, actually. For those of you that might be interested, it'll be a fall school, and I'll give you the rundown, the teachers, everything that's going on with that, okay? We're going to actually start in October. If some of you are familiar with Global Awakening, they do a conference called Voice of the Apostles, Voice of the Prophets. Voice of the Apostles, I believe, is the one in the fall. And we're actually starting the week right after that. But it will be starting Monday, October 24th. Okay? And actually, Todd's going to be teaching. He's going to start us out there. Okay? But we're going from Monday, October 24th, through Thursday, December 1st. Okay? It'll be the same thing Monday to Thursday from 7, or from, yeah, from 9 to 12. We could start at 7, but Todd wouldn't be here. I'm just kidding. Don't tell him I said that. Okay? But let me give you the lineup of the teachers. Todd's going to be teaching several days. Todd White. Bob Hazlett's going to be teaching a week. There's a guy from Washington State. That's going to be teaching. Bob's actually doing the week of Thanksgiving, so he'll be 3 days, that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving. We won't have class on that Thursday. The guy from Washington State I mentioned the other day, Scott Chang, who wrote the book, The Rhema Code. Incredible, incredible book, just a gift from God, and just really enjoying some time getting to know him some. He'll be teaching for us. There's a lady coming in from California. You probably haven't heard of her. She was new to me. I actually listened to several of her CDs and some things, really have enjoyed some time talking with her. Cheryl Leonhardt hooked me up with her. This lady's name is Rabia Lamort. Rabia Lamort. And pretty interesting testimony. God rocked her world. She was Hollywood. She had a role on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you remember that. She was one of the characters there. She was a dancer for Prince for years. She was his lead dancer. Beautiful lady. And then Jesus came, and she was seeking New Age religion. So she met up with some spirit-filled Christians and got her world rocked, and she is toast, and it's pretty cool. And she's really big on identity, and her and I have been talking back and forth. She's actually been watching a whole bunch of our services. She goes, "You guys rock. I can't wait to come out there." I said, "I like you." Okay. So anyway, but she's going to be with us a few days as well. We'll have a good time. There's an old comedian. Some of you that are old like me, you might remember a guy named Mike Warnke. Mike's actually going to do a day with us as well. Some of you might know him. And his world's been rocked back and forth a few times, but he's doing really, really well. Had a chance to talk with him. Him and I are pretty good friends. But some neat stuff going on there. So should be a lot of fun, okay? Looking forward to it. It'll be a really neat school. It's a short school, so the cost will be $200 in-house, $100 online. But it's going to be a pretty neat thing, and I think you'll really find that it's very, very beneficial. So I'd encourage anybody that want to be a part of that, that you can. Those are the dates, and let's see how that rocks, okay? It's Harvard.
Living number two.
Well, it'd actually be number three if we were kept putting numbers. We did the first one last year. So, yeah, we just call it school. Okay. Okay. Yeah. October 24th through December 1st. Okay. Everybody good? 10:24 to 12:01. Everybody good? Cool. Yes, dear.
What is it?
Oh, it will still stay along the line. Again, all the schools that we do, the basis behind the school was always identity, because in my heart, I believe 100% it's all about identity. We need to understand who we are as sons and daughters, okay? What I've done with the first school and with this school, I've had Pastor Dan share in his heart more on that than anybody, because Pastor Dan, I think, has one of the strongest identity messages there is out there. The guy is phenomenal. Okay? These other guys that are coming, it'll be Todd will be doing several days, Bob will be doing several days, Scott will be doing several days. It'll be more of the same idea, but from a different vantage point, because we all, you know, I could preach, you can give me eight scriptures, give those same eight scriptures to Todd, give those same eight scriptures to Dan, give those same eight scriptures to Rick, give those same eight scriptures to Dave, give those same eight scriptures to Lisa, give those same eight scriptures to Ryan. We're all members of the same house, but every one of us is going to preach it differently. But it'll come, the message still stays solid, but from a different vantage point. Does that make sense? So hopefully you'll understand that. But I would tell you, all these guys, you know, if you spend any time with Todd, he's intense. Todd is absolutely intense. You spend any time with Bob Hazlett, he's scary prophetic. I tell people, don't sin and hang out with Bob, he'll know. Okay, just know. Okay, and Scott Chang has just is amazing in his understanding and concepts. He does a school out in Washington State that I've kind of looked at some of his stuff. And him and his wife Lori are coming. They're actually bringing a whole team with them. They're going to come and be a part. We're going to use them for the weekend as well that they're here. Robia has a different view on everything, and I love her heart. It's just amazing. And so we're going to have a really really good time. I would just encourage you, if it's in your heart, I'll be doing. I think probably when it comes down to it, I'm going to be filling in between them all, and I think I'll end up with a few more days than any of them, but none of us will have a big chunk. We're all just going to have small chunks, if that makes sense. So it'll be a pretty good variety. I don't know what your schedules might look like, but internet will be available the same way. So I think it's going to be a pretty amazing trip. I'd encourage anybody to be a part of the journey. Okay? Okay, here's what we're doing. We're talking about some things that again, we're talking about transparency. We're trying to stay hearing God in the midst of that. I was teaching, feeling like we were getting to a place when Shiloh began to share her heart, something was rising up in me, and I felt like we needed to get into a place of prayer where we actually prayed before we went to break. But then things got extended, then I saw hands raising up, and we kind of did some things with that. And honestly, I believe there was a point there where we should have probably had prayer. Because of our own thing. I want to take us back to that place. I'm going to show you. I'm going to set some groundwork. But then I'm going to pray over the group. And then we'll kind of go from there. Because I don't want to shift from this. I feel like God's speaking. And we don't ever want to miss that. Okay? Watch this. I had an incredible peace about that. To pray right then. And then we got sidetracked. We went over a couple other things. And I found that, wait a minute, that's missing now. What happens, and I'll just teach you a life lesson, but if you found your peace and then you were missing, like you felt like the peace was missing, back up where you lost it. Does that make sense? Back up where you lost your peace and go again. True story to share with us here. Had a couple that were here. They were a very, very integral part of the church. They felt like they needed to go to Rhema. They went to Rhema Bible Institute. Good school. Nothing wrong with Rhema. Kenneth Hagin's ministry and some good things there. But in the process, they went to Rhema. They got out there. They're excited. They felt like, boy, we need to come back now and bring back what we got. Bring it back to harvest. God was moving in their life. They're incredibly happy in Oklahoma. You follow what I'm saying? And God's doing amazing things. Bought a house, a couple things going on. Then they purposed in their heart that they felt like, well, we're supposed to be back here because we had supported them. And I told them, we're supporting you with no strings, man. Just go and be a part of the body. We're investing in the body of Christ. We're investing in your life. Whatever God wants to do with you. No strings attached, right? But they felt compelled because they loved me. And I won't get into all that, but it was a good connection there. And I said, well, if you feel like that's God, they come back. And from the time they came back, they were back for a year. It was one, I want to say, calamity after another. Can I say that? Things didn't go well here, there, whatever. Jobs weren't going exactly the way they should have been. Some things were funky. And he's telling me with tears, he's saying, man, I feel like ever since we came back, it's just been like we've hit one brick wall after another. I said, man, you get no peace. I said, go back where you lost your peace. They had a house that they had bought back in Oklahoma. They had rented it out. And you know what he did? They ended up telling the renters, we're going to come and be moving back in. Things happened. They were able to transition, got back in Oklahoma. And guess what happened? All their peace came back. They fit in. There was amazing things that came together. I'm telling you, there's a place where you just follow your peace. Does that? I hope that makes sense. But there's a place where you learn to follow your peace. And that makes all the difference in the world. Every decision I make, I got to tell you something, I make decisions, major, and I make a lot of major decisions because of my position as a senior pastor and different things. But I do that all the time where the scripture says, let peace be the umpire in your decision-making process. Colossians says it, and Galatians says it's in both, or Philippians rather. But in both places it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It says that in Colossians, isn't it Colossians 3? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, might be 4. But watch this, what he's saying there is, he's saying, let the peace of God, and actually the word there is, be the umpire, and you're making decisions. There's a place where peace makes those decisions. You following where I'm at? So we get into that. Okay? So with that thought in mind, I'm going to go back to a place of peace. Go back, get your Bible, as a matter of fact, and go to 1 Corinthians 12. You're making decisions. I see you writing. I'm sorry. I apologize. But there's a place where when we're making decisions, peace has to be the umpire in the decision-making process. And I guess I should clarify that with this. If I got to make a decision, Lord, do you want me to do this? And I have a peace about it? I got, yeah, that's a green light. But there's sometimes where you get what I call a check in my spirit or a red flag. I can't do that. I might not even have an explanation why I can't do that. I just know I can't do that. There's no peace to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's a great way to live your life. Okay? Go to 1 Corinthians 12, which has nothing to do with peace, but has everything to do with gifting. Okay? Watch this. We were just talking a little bit ago. And we kind of covered a lot of ground as we were talking about trying to just follow the will of God in our life and be able to do. And Shiloh brought up some things, and that's where my heart was really moved. As she talked about, I was out in college, Indiana, felt like I needed to come home just trying to hear God and what He wants me to do. And we've talked a lot about a whole bunch of things. And watch this. In the process of that, we've talked a lot. We talked about just flowing in prophetic gifting. We talked about words of knowledge, some different things like that. And as we were talking about that, I was sharing about Freddie Clark and how words of knowledge. And we see some of these things, and we've kind of looked at that. I'm going to say this. We have amplified in the church today the charismatic gifts. When I say the charismatic gifts, the gifts we can see, there's words of knowledge and prophecy and different things of that nature, and we've talked about that. And you'll hear a lot about words of knowledge, and you'll hear a lot about prophecy. But I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to show you a couple of things. We'll talk to you from my heart, and then we're going to pray. Okay? He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. I think that's pretty strong, actually. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, he threw that in there. Now, watch this. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Everybody understand what that is? Holy Spirit operates the gifts. That's what he just says. And they're administrated differently in people's lives. Two people can operate in word of knowledge, but they can do it very differently. Right? Hunter has a pain in his arm. That's a word of knowledge. You might walk by and all of a sudden God just plants a thought and it's a word of knowledge. It might operate differently in different people. You okay with that? Yeah. It operates differently. So watch this. God's not in a box. And we think sometimes now we're out of the box, but sometimes we just got a bigger box. I hope you understand what I just said. Yeah. But there was a place, watch this, and I studied this one time. I thought it was kind of cool. I watched people do things and they did it different than we did it. And I thought, well, that can't be God because that's not the way we do it. Right? And the Lord showed me that with a blind man, one blind man he spoke to and the blind man received a sight. Another blind man he put his hand on and the man received a sight. And another blind man, for whatever reason, he spit in dirt and put mud on the guy's eyes. Does that seem weird to anybody besides me? Come on. He spits in dirt and puts mud on the guy's eyes and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. That seems ridiculous. Just talk to me or put your hand on me. Why would you do that? I think God was showing us that he doesn't do the same thing the same way all the time. I was convinced at one point in my life, if you didn't do it the way the Church of God of Prophecy did it, you did it wrong. Anybody understand that, what I just said? Because I was part of that group. That's the way we do this. So if you don't do it our way, well, then you're just wrong. And that was so stupid on my part. But we're kind of trained that way. Everybody okay with what I'm saying? So there are different diversities of administrations, okay? So, and that's what he's saying. But the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God that works all in all. But the manifestation, watch this, the revelation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit the entire body, to profit with all. Everybody see it? Now watch the next couple verses. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kind of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. What's he saying? He's saying God's going to move in all of us in different ways. Somehow in the body of Christ, we kind of got into a mentality that said, if we're not prophesying and we don't have words of knowledge, we're missing it. But God might have just gave you the word of wisdom. God might have given you a gift of discerning of spirits. And we've made that less than because it didn't look like Bob Hazlett. And nothing against Bob Hazlett. You guys know I love Bob. So just hear that. But we took one gift and amplified it, and another gift and minimized it. Do y'all follow what I just said?
Yeah.
Please hear what I'm saying. Do you understand that the discerning of spirits is just as great as words of knowledge? What I find amazing, and I'll talk, go ahead. Let me do this. I don't have it. Somebody has it. Yay, buddy. Okay. Okay.
And what has happened in a lot of churches is because God wanted to speak or move in different ways through different people, that has been hushed and it has been silenced. And there's a stalemate because God hasn't had the freedom to move the way he wants to move in individuals.
Isn't that amazing? Can I tell you a really neat story? I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I can picture him plain as day. I went to a conference down in Florida a couple years back in Sarasota, Florida. It was under... I know this guy. He said his ministry is called Leadership International. I know that. And he's an amazing Church of God preacher, actually. This was it was a conference, though, that was held by Gerald Durstein's group. And I'm trying to remember the name, out of Bradenton, Florida. And I went to the conference. And it was an amazing conference. But this guy I never heard of before. Oh, my gosh, he was amazing. Leadership International was the name of his ministry. Anyway, what it was, he was preaching. And he'd come out of a Methodist church. I want you to understand this. Come out of a Methodist church. And the Methodist church was on fire. And they were a Methacostal church. Okay? Y'all following what I'm saying? They operated in... They had tongues and interpretations and stuff, and God was doing some things, and they had this little old Jamaican lady who was in the church. He was at that time the youth pastor. This was an older lady. She was a Jamaican lady, and she was a fireball for God. She spent all of her time in prayer and everything, and God was flowing in her, right? Now, the youth pastor, he starts having youth meetings, and the youth are getting excited. And I mean, the Spirit of God's coming, and the pastor has given liberty for that. God is moving, and now people, and different things are happening. And this little Jamaican lady, because she's excited about Jesus and everything, she starts coming to the meetings, and she's excited. And what's happening is she's jumping up, and she's giving messages and interpretation, but they're coming out harsh. Okay? And I mean, she's decreeing Ichabod, which means the glory of God is departing, and all these different things, you know what I mean? And she's proclaiming this stuff, and it's like gloom and doom. Every time she gives a message in tongues and interprets it, it's like a gloom and doom message. Well, who wants that? You're just having a fiery time, and somebody points out a gloom and doom, you know what I mean? And it was like, oh my gosh. And so he's mad, and he wants to go, and he comes to the pastor. I thought this was an amazing thing. Watch this. He comes to the pastor. He says, I'm going to call her Sister Jenkins, because I don't remember what her name was, okay? He says, I'm going to go talk to Sister Jenkins right now. He says, and I'm going to tell her I don't want her in my meetings anymore. I don't want her coming because it had just happened again, right? And he's frustrated with it. It happened several times, and he's frustrated with it. I'm going to go talk to her. And the pastor says, wait a minute. He said, have you prayed for her? He said, well, no. He said, okay, before I will release you to talk to her, you've got to pray for her. He said, fine. And the pastor stopped him. He said, no. I mean, you've got to pray for her till you're in tears. And when you've prayed for her at the point of tears, I will release you to speak to Sister Jenkins, and not until then. That's amazing wisdom in the pastor. He goes to pray for her, but he can't. He can't get to the point of tears. You know why? He's too angry. Now, he's got a conference that's coming up. It's a major youth conference in the city. It's at his church. He's in charge of it. And guess what happens? His back gets completely thrown out. He can't even stand. Let alone hardly walk. He's got to get two people to help him come into the church. He's got an incredible staff, and he's in town. This guy's leader. He's a leader. Now, he heads a ministry now called Leadership International. But even as a young pastor, he was very, very good at leadership. So he's already got a team around him. They can carry on the whole meeting without him. But they bring him in. They put him in the back of the church. They got pews in the church. And he's in the back of the church, and he's actually laying over on a pew just trying to hold himself up. You follow what I said? He's holding himself up. Guess who comes in the building? Old Sister Jenkins. And he's like, I'm going to get up so bad and tell her she can't. And he knows he's not even allowed to address her, because he understands authority, and he's under the authority of the senior pastor, who said you can't address her till you pray for her, what? With tears, right? Okay, here's what happened. The meeting goes off. They have an amazing time. Sister Jenkins doesn't carry on. She doesn't do anything about Ichabod or anything like that. There's no gloom and doom prophecy. But they have a pretty amazing meeting that night. And guess what happens? At the end of the service, there's music and everybody's having a big time. And Sister Jenkins is having her worship time with God. And people are leaving. And as they're filing out the door, Sister Jenkins comes over and lays hands on him and prays. Fire of God falls and his back is completely healed. To the point where he jumps off the pew. You know what's really amazing? He was in a Methodist church that believed in tongues, believed in interpretation of tongues, did not believe in divine healing. So now you got a man who just got divinely healed who don't believe in divine healing. But how do you argue with a man who just had an experience? So now he don't know what to do with it. Do you understand what Vicky was saying a little bit ago? Something had been stifled. Here's the deal. They come to the youth pastor now, goes home and calls the pastor because it's like 11 o'clock at night. The pastor wasn't at the meeting. He said, I got to talk to you, man. I got to talk to you. He is bent out of shape, right? He doesn't even know how to handle this. And what he starts to do is he's telling the pastor, this is what happened. And when she laid her hand on me, fire came on me. And when fire came on me, I jumped off the pew with absolutely no pain. I can bend down, touch my toes. I can do anything I want. There is no pain in my body. Pastor said, okay, I got to dwell on this for a little bit. Let's meet tomorrow. This was Friday night. Conference was all day Saturday. Pastor comes in on Saturday, sits with the youth pastor early in the morning, and he starts telling the story. He says, you got to tell everybody. He says, and when you tell him Jesus heals.
Amen.
And the pastor in wisdom, watch this, because we're talking about all the different gifts. Pastor didn't have the gift of healing. Don't hear that wrong. We all have, if we have the Holy Spirit, we can all flow in that. But watch this, because I want to talk to you about this. Because we can all, do you understand if you have the Holy Spirit, you can flow in any of this stuff?
Yeah.
Please don't miss that. But watch this. His primary gift, is that okay if I say it that way and you understand what I'm saying? Was word of wisdom. Wisdom was on this pastor, and he says to the youth pastor, he says, here's the deal. The reason Sister Jenkins was all bottled up with all the stuff that was going on with all the junk coming out of her is because all this was rising up in her, but she had nowhere to release it because we had refused to accept, to anoint the sick, to pray for healing. That isn't even a part of our culture, but it was so inside of her, struggling to get out, and it was coming out in funky ways. And I began to think about that, and I thought, you know what? What Vicky just said is sometimes we have stifled the gift of God.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to you real straight. I believe some of us in here have incredible gifting, but we stifled it because it doesn't look like word of knowledge. I think we've stifled some incredible gifting because it doesn't look like prophetic. We've stifled some incredible gifting because we didn't understand what we even had in us. And I'm going to tell you something. We've got to get educated on what's available. We've got to get educated. When we start reading 1 Corinthians 12, guess what? Turn over two more chapters and guess what you got? You got 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Talks about more, about spiritual gifting. But I'm going to tell you something. There's incredible administrative gifts. And if you have an administrative gift, and that's your gifting, that's your primary gifting, if you can understand when I say that, okay? You know what I'm thinking? Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this, that this may be where you're supposed to be flowing is administration, and that's a great thing, but it doesn't seem like it carries the glory of prophetic gifting, so all of a sudden we feel like we're less than. I got news for you. We need to be who we are. He goes on in that chapter and he says, does the foot say because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body? Come on, the foot knows it's a foot. The hand knows it's a hand. We need to know who we are. There's a place where we got to come to an understanding. This is who God created me to be. Do you understand? I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to be so plain with you, but that works for me, okay? 5-6 years ago when Pastor Dan came in the house and we invited him in as part of the ministry staff and he was doing every Saturday night at the time. He's flowing in this amazing stuff. He's laying hands on people. They're getting healed. At that point in the ministry, Dan him and I talked about this, but this was a new thing, activating the body. And we talked about this because that's whenever we started doing that here was activating the body. But how many know, up until then, most of us operated in this. You got everybody up front and you went and prayed for them all. So if it would have been that Dan would have been preaching on a Saturday night, he'd have prayed for them all. And we decided we're not going to do that. We're going to activate the body because we started to understand it's a body ministry. It's a lot bigger than that. But you got to understand, Dan flowed in all that stuff. I didn't flow in all that. So I'd watch what he was doing. How many of you know? I was incredibly intimidated by that. Now, do I understand who I am? I do now a whole lot better than I even did 5 years ago, 6 years ago. But I can tell you something. There was a place where the devil's on your shoulder saying, he got gifting, you ain't got. What do you know? What do you think you are? All of a sudden, and then you start, come on, who's ever felt less than? Because you see these people. Here's the deal. I had to get to a place and that bothered me. Then Todd comes on behind him, and Todd's only saved like 6 days and people are getting healed. What's up with that? I smack him. Okay, because you're frustrated. You know what I mean? It was like that. And then you're looking, come on, do we project on God? That's not fair. Okay, come on. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Am I real or what? Come on. So now, all of a sudden, we're comparing ourselves to ourselves. And here's the deal. What I had to go through in my life was get to a place where I was comfortable with the skin I'm in.
That's right.
Because here's the honest truth. God gave me a shepherd's heart and he put me in a place where he wanted to use me. And it's exactly what God wants to do in my life. And I had to be comfortable with the idea, this is who God created me to be. Can I flow in all that other stuff? Absolutely. No doubt about it. But the truth of the matter is I'm called to flow here. And I'm doing what God called me to do. And that's an amazing truth. One of the things you got to get to the place is, first of all, you got to understand who God created you to be and then flow in that. And don't feel like you're less than because you're not doing what that one's doing or you're not doing what this one's doing. Come on. Because sometimes we start comparing ourselves to everybody around us. And when we start comparing ourselves to everybody else, we start feeling like, well, we got to make something happen then. So all of a sudden, I'm going to go here. I will. No. Yeah, I think I will. Okay. Here's the deal. Because we want to be so prophetic, because that's the new wave, right? All of a sudden, we're grabbing somebody's hand, and we're saying something that sounds prophetic, that had absolutely nothing to do with God. And it wasn't that we were trying to do something wrong. It was that we were so zealous, we were trying to do something right, that God wasn't even in. Come on, I don't even want to say it, but how many of us got a prophetic word that probably God had absolutely nothing to do with? Do you understand? I had a lady come to me one day, and it wasn't all that long back, and she says, I just want you to know, the Lord's telling me, he sees the tears that you were crying on your pillow last night, and he knows all the turmoil that's in your life. And I'm looking at her saying, huh? Because I didn't cry any tears last night. And there is no real turmoil in my life. And she just went on and on with this terrible, sad story. And I'm thinking, honey, you might want to look on this side or this side. It doesn't have nothing to do with me. And I realized that she was looking, and catch this, because of my position in the house, she was looking for a, how do I even want to say, a place of prominence, right? Like I would recognize her as a prophetic gift. And I looked at her more as a pathetic gift, but that's another story. Okay. Okay. In the process, because there's a place, please hear my heart in this. If you have to make it happen, it ain't God. Do you understand what I just said? Because I'm going to tell you something. He flows naturally. What I want to speak to you about is this. If you're a hand, don't try to be a foot. If you're an ear, don't try to be an eye. If you're a nose, don't try to be a mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you are a nose and you try to be a mouth, I won't be able to see because my glasses won't have any place to rest. You need to understand, in the process of this, we've all got a place on the body, in the body, as the body. Please understand what I'm trying to say. There's a place where we've amplified the other gifts. And I don't ever want you to think that whatever God's doing in you is less than what God's doing in them. Because you're a major integral part of what God's doing on planet Earth. Please hear that. I am so convinced, I'm convicted in my heart, there's a place where we've got to come to an understanding. This, I so want to just be who God wants me to be. I want to be, I want to do what God called me to do. And if it doesn't look what we're, can I go here? Glamorous? Please hear this. Of all the people in this church, and you know, I am surrounded by incredible gifts. I am surrounded by incredible gifts. I mean, and I just mentioned a whole bunch of preachers that are incredible, gifted preachers, ministers, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I mean, God uses these people in amazing ways, and they are impacting the nation. Come on, in reality, they're impacting the nation all over. Whether that's Lisa or Todd or Dan, you got Dave and Rick in the house. You got Ryan traveling all over. These guys are just doing amazing things in the body of Christ, and I thank God for every one of them. I have made this statement over and over again. You hear me and hear me. Well, if I had a duplicating machine and I could put one person in it, it would be Kim Miller, and she's the janitor. And I don't know how many of you know her, But I promise you, if I had a duplicating machine, the first person I would run through it is Kim Miller. She cleans the church here. But I will tell you, she's probably one of the most amazing people on planet Earth. And any one of you can tell her I said that because I tell her that. And she'll cry if you tell her that. But I'm telling you, that's just because her heart is so cool. I'm going to tell you, if I was a little girl and I wanted to grow up, I'd want to be just like her. I'm an old man. If I grow up, I want to be like her. But she's amazing to me. And here's the deal. She's flowing in the gifting that God placed in her. Because she has the gift of helps. And I will tell you something. She'll fall over herself helping anybody that she can. She's probably got one of the most tender and gracious hearts of anybody on planet Earth. She is absolutely phenomenal. If I could duplicate Dan or her, I'm picking her. And don't take that away from Dan. I think he's amazing. But I'm telling you, she's incredible. And I say that a lot. You need to hear that. Because we've put emphasis over here. And then what we do is, when God's trying to do this in us, we feel like less than because we don't look like over here. Don't you ever feel like less than. You're created in an amazing way. God made you just to be like you. And here's the deal. You pursue that and you find out what's God. And here's a great prayer. God, what are you doing in my life? God, what are you doing in my life? That's a great prayer. God, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? I tell you, I got challenged a few years back and I had to get comfortable with, wow, this is what God's doing in my life. And then when I understood what God was doing in my life, I said, hey, I might as well be the best at this. I'm not going to try to be that. God didn't make me to be that. He made me to be this. I want to be a really, 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 really good this. Does that make sense? Ooh, I'm getting passionate now. But you understand what I'm saying? Here's the deal. And I'll catch you in just a minute, Shana. But this is really important that we just do this right now. You need to hear my heart well. Shiloh made mention, just trying to hear God, what are you doing in my life? That's really what I heard her saying. Every one of us is in a place where we got a purpose in our own heart. God, what are you doing in my life? God, what are you doing in my life? What are you wanting to do with me? Where am I at on your timetable? What are you purposing right now for me? So I want you to just bow your head and close your eyes. If you're looking on the internet, just take a moment right now. We're going to take a God moment. I really believe this is a divine appointment right now with heaven. I really believe it's a divine appointment with heaven right now. I call these Kairos moments. It's where God intervenes in the affairs of men. But it's a Kairos moment because this so rises up in my heart. And it's a time right now where God wants to just speak to us as individuals. I said a little while ago, I really believe for most of us in this room, if God told us, I want you in Siberia, you would be packing parkas in a few moments. You'd be on your way, buying tickets and making plans. I really believe that. If I want to know his secrets, where is it at? It's in the secret place. There's a place where God reveals to us and speaks to us about what he's doing in our lives. On a Sunday night in a little tiny church in Butler, Pennsylvania, God revealed to me that he was putting within my life a shepherd's heart. I will tell you, from that day till this, I've never questioned that because I knew it was God. When you know what God's doing in your life, you know what direction you want to pursue. Please hear me. He'll share his secrets with his friends. I would just ask you right now, do you believe in your own heart that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? We have hammered Jeremiah 29:11 right into the ground. But he says it over and over, I know the plans that I have for you. If God knows the plan he has for you, don't you think he'd want to reveal it to you? You say, well, Pastor, he's kept it a secret from me. Then I'm going to tell you, get in a secret place. Because if you want to know his secrets, he'll tell you in the secret place. I honestly believe there's plans, purposes, provision for everything that God wants for you right now. And he's going to speak to some hearts. Man, I feel this so strong in my life right now. This is a major time right here. I'm going to ask you, would you just prepare your heart? I feel like I just need to release that in the church. Father, I thank you. I so thank you, God. I thank you for the plans that you have for every one of us. God, it's an amazing fact for me, but I'll never forget the day where you showed me my picture was on your refrigerator. I'm convinced, God, that you have a picture of each one of the students in this house, each one that's watching by internet, you have a picture of them on your refrigerator. You have a plan, you have a purpose, God, for every one of their lives. And I thank you that your love for each one of them is so incredibly amazing that you would reveal those plans and those purposes. And Father, right now, our hearts are just open. We are engaged to hear heaven right now. I'm asking God, anoint our ears to hear you and give us a sensitivity to what you're doing in every one of our life. I'm asking God that you would just move in an amazing fashion. Father, I thank you. I thank you for purity of hearts, hearts that are pure and open before you, that you would speak to us, God. And Father, that we would have an ear that would so hear, and we would be like Joshua of old, strong and courageous, because we know the Lord our God is with us. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would come in an amazing fashion. And God, we're just going to put our trust in you. Our faith, our trust, and our confidence is stayed in the Lord our God. So we're just asking, God, that you would move in us. And Father, even the things that you're stretching us for, God, I'm asking, stretch us that we might reach to those places. Father, more than anything else, I'm just asking, God, that you would use us and give us, Lord, the courage to step through the door that you open. Because God, when you put before us an open door, you give us a choice, whether we walk through it or just stand in the doorway. God, I'm asking, give us the courage to take the step. Because when we take the step, I believe you'll meet us there. So I'm asking for every one of us in the house right now, everyone that's watching by way of the internet, God, that you would just open up those avenues for us and give us understanding, give us clarity of mind. Father, teach us, Lord, what it is to get to the secret place where we'll hear the secrets of heaven. God, that you would bring revelation, that you would bring understanding, and God, that we would so see, hear, and know the voice of God, that we would be so convicted in our own heart and in our own spirit that we would rise up and say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. God, that you would show us and that you would help us and give us understanding. I pray for a clarity right now. God, remove the clouds. Let the fog be lifted right now in Jesus' name. Let the fog be lifted right now in Jesus' name. Man, I see that in the spirit, the fog just lifting. And God, that you would give us clarity and understanding. Father, that the sun might shine in. Oh God, that you would just touch right now each heart and each life. And help us, God, as we gain understanding, as we gain clarity of what you're about to do. Father, I'm asking you, come in an amazing way. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Draw us in. Help us to see, to know, to understand what you're wanting to do. God, we surrendered our lives to you. Now we just want to know, what will you do with us, Lord? What do you want to do with us, God? We patiently wait, Lord. But as we wait, we'll stay active. God, your word was real clear. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into the harvest. God, we want to go forth, but we want to know it, Lord. We want to go in our calling. We don't want to try to create something. We don't want to just try to make something happen. We so want to hear the voice of God. We don't want to do our thing and ask you to come and bless it. We want to see what you're doing and then join you and partner with heaven in what heaven's doing on the earth. We want to know, God, your will, your plan, and your purposes. So I thank you, God. I thank you that you're releasing even spiritual giftings, God. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of understanding, oh God. God, I thank you that the administrative giftings, God, all kind of different things are being released even right now. Gifts of helps, oh God. Father, I thank you that there's amazing things that are transpiring. And God, help us to see what you're calling us to, that we might flow in what you want us to flow in. God, that we're not trying to create something or make something happen. We're just hearing, this is what God's doing in my life. And God, we want to walk it out in sincerity. God, give us sincere hearts, that we might understand purpose and destiny and all these amazing things that you're trying to do. Teach us, God. In a place of intimacy, draw us in. And when you do, speak in our ear. Isaiah said we'd hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk thou in it. Oh God, that we might hear that still small voice. Teach us what that looks like, Father. I pray, God, your blessing. I pray for your help. I pray for understanding. Give us clarity, oh God, that we might know your plan, your purposes for our lives. Father, we thank you. God, I thank you that even over the next couple of days, you'll visit with each one. Visit us in the night watches. Speak to us in the secret place. Through dreams and visions and revelations, give us understanding. Father, as we hear the voice of God, give us the courage to respond to what we hear, that we would rise up and be the people you'd called us to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, I bless that. God, I bless that. I need to do this. This isn't going to work well on the internet, but it doesn't matter. I hear God real clear on this. If you're in this house right now, and maybe you're with somebody on the internet, then that's okay. But if you're in this house right now, and you feel like God is placing a draw on your heart, you feel like God's doing something in your life, would you just stand where you're at right now? There's just something you feel like God's, like you're trying to get clarity, you're trying to get direction. You feel like God's doing something. Maybe you're just saying, God, I just need to know this better. I need to understand this better. There's something we need to do. It's going to activate faith. Just stand. If you feel like that's your place right now, you feel like God's speaking something to you, just stand right where you're at, because we're going to do something. I feel this in my heart in a big way. I know this is God, so I just want to do this. If there's somebody close to you that's standing near you, I want you just to pair off by twos. Take their hand. Just take their hands. Whatever, wherever it is, somebody's close to you. And just go ahead. If you need to catch somebody, you might need to walk somewhere or something. But I just feel like there's a pairing off in twos. I heard that real clear in my heart. Maybe somebody's close to you and they didn't stand, but you're standing alone. Just grab them. But I really feel like God's in that right now. There's a place where God's doing something. You might have to just get in a three, and that's okay too. But I so hear God in this. This is very, very clear from my heart right now. And I'm just ready to believe God. Would you do this? Would you pray for that person whose hands you're now holding? And as you're praying for them, I'm going to ask them to pray for you in the same manner. And we're just going to believe God right now. There's something about activating the faith as we pray together and we believe the Lord together. I'm asking you to pray for the people that you're with right now. Would you do that? Just join your hearts together, asking God for clarity for them. But this is a place where the body's activated and we pray one for another all over the house. I'm just so hearing God in that. I believe this is so the will of God right now. Pray for one another. Just go ahead. Just release faith. As you're praying, you're believing that God's speaking. Pray for their ears to be open. I'm telling you, God's speaking. There's no question in my mind. God's speaking. There's a place, man. It's just a very serious moment. Just pray for one another. I'm just so hearing God in that right now. I know this is God. And I know there's a place where we just hear Him and we respond to the call of God on our hearts. We're just responding to the call of God on our hearts right now. We're just responding to the call of God. I'm telling you, God's up to something right now. This is a Kairos moment. God's visiting us right now. Father, I just thank you all over the house. God, I thank you for men and women engaged. They're engaging their hearts, God. They're engaging their hearts. They're believing. They're in faith, God, that you're up to something amazing. They're up to something wonderful. God, I thank you. Give us clarity. Give us understanding, Father. Give us understanding, God. God, I thank you. A threefold cord's not quickly broken. God, I thank you for understanding. I thank you, God, for a grace that's great. God, you're doing amazing things right now. I'm asking, Father, just keep moving, keep flowing. Holy Spirit, I thank you. God, I thank you for precious giftings. I thank you, God, that you're up to something amazing. And God, I'm just asking you to flow and move in young lives right now. God, as we receive that gifting, as we receive, God, what you're speaking right now, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. God, that our hearts might be open to all that you want to do. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just come. Come in an amazing way. God, I thank you. God, I so thank you for what you're doing. Same for Barbara. God, just keep coming in an amazing way. Holy Ghost flow. God, we welcome you right now. We always so welcome you in this place. God, just keep flowing right now. Jesus, we just ask you, come. Keep coming, Lord. Keep coming, Lord. God, I know you're doing amazing things right here. God, I know you're doing amazing things right here. Holy Spirit, we invite you, come. Come, Lord, I pray. Breathe on her, Holy Spirit. You breathe on her. You breathe on her. Let her hear the voice of God. Let her hear the heartbeat of heaven. God, that you would keep coming in an amazing way. We welcome that, Lord. We welcome that right now. God, we welcome that right now. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, in an amazing way. Come, God, I pray. Father, we just thank you. We're so welcoming the gift of God. We're so welcoming the heart of heaven. And God, we're asking, if we don't hear from you, God, we don't want to take a step. But God, when we do, we want the courage to step out and do what you're asking us to do. Give us wisdom. Give us insight, God. Give us wisdom and insight that we might be forthright, God, in walking out the steps that you've ordained and following in the flow that heaven's called us to. God, we want to walk out truth. God, we want to walk it out in integrity. God, we want to walk it out in character. God, we want to follow you in the Spirit. Teach us, Lord, I pray. God, we so want to hear from heaven. We so want to hear what you're up to. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, we welcome you right now. Bring us in a place of intimacy where we so hear the heart of God. God, I'm asking, let there never be a moment past that we're not in communion with you, because there's never a moment where you quit speaking. God, I'm asking for direction. I'm asking for understanding. God, come. God, come in an amazing way. Give us, Lord, that direction. Let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God, this is the will, the plan, and the purpose of heaven. You see the purity of the heart, God, and we're asking you, just come. Come, Lord, and help us to understand you. Help us to know the will of heaven. Help us to know, God, what you're speaking. God, we so want you right now. God, we so want you right now. God, we so want you. God, we don't want to just make a good plan today and ask you to visit us. God, we want to see your plans for the day and walk it out. God, I thank you for Chelsea. I thank you for her amazing heart. God, I thank you. I thank you so much for what you've already spoken over her. More, God. I'm asking for the more of heaven to be released in her. And God, that she would know, Lord, that she would know beyond a shadow of a doubt the steps that you've ordered and ordained. God, I thank you and I bless her. I bless her as a daughter of the Most High. I bless her, God. Let the heartbeat of heaven beat inside of her, and that her heart beats with your heart. God, that her steps walk with your steps. God, that her life measures up with your life, and God, that you would walk her through this place. Father, I bless that in Jesus' name, and I thank you for what you're accomplishing and what you're doing. God, we want so much the more of what your heart is. Teach us what that looks like, God. God, we so want you. God, we so want you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, keep coming more. Keep coming more, God. Keep coming more. Keep coming more, God, right here. God, for Bobby and for Billy, too. God, as you just direct their paths, God, I thank you for the two are one. And God, I'm asking that you would just come in an amazing way. More of your Spirit, more of your anointing, more of your grace. God, as we walk in fellowship one with another and with you, Father, I bless that over her. Teach her, God, what that looks like as she walks, Lord, in the footsteps that you've ordained. Holy Ghost, come. God, we welcome you. God, we welcome you. God, we so want to hear you. God, we so want to know your heart. Oh, God. God, I thank you. Jesus, we welcome you right now. God, I thank you for these moments where you come and you speak to us. God, let it be clear. Let it be so clear in our heart. Let it be so clear, God, that we would walk out who you intended for us to be. Not who somebody else wanted us to be. Not who mom might have wanted us to be. Not who dad wanted us to be. Who you wanted us to be, God. God, that we might be the best us that you've made us to be. Teach us what that looks like, God. Holy Spirit, come. Father, I thank you. Son, I thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We welcome you, God. We welcome you in this place, Lord. We welcome you in this place. Oh, God, I thank you for what you're doing. God, I thank you for what you're doing. Oh, God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh, God. Oh, God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways. Jesus. Step by step you'll lead us. I'll follow you all my days. Teach me, Lord. Teach me what that looks like, God. Teach us, Lord, what that looks like. God, that we might be released to flow in the power of your Spirit. That we might be released to flow in all that you have for us. God, we don't want to miss it. God, we so want to walk with you. We have but one life to live. May we live it to the fullest. May we live it, Lord, in the divine call that you have upon our life. You didn't call any of us to sit by and watch. You didn't call any of us, God, to just stand on the sidelines and watch the game. You called us to get on the field, to get in the game, and to be activated, God. Activate us today. Activate us today. Activate us today. Activate us, God, so that we know what that looks like. God, I'm asking you, come, that we might get in the game. Teach us, Lord, I pray. God, that we might actively pursue all that you have for us. God, we don't want to miss a thing. God, we don't want to miss a thing. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. We're coming after you. We want intimacy, God. God, I firmly believe, Lord, the call for heaven, from heaven for us is intimacy with you. Teach us what it is to get in the secret place, because that's where we'll find the secrets. You reveal your secrets in the secret place. God, I so thank you. God, I so thank you. God, I so thank you for what you're doing. Oh, God. Oh, God, we want you. Holy Spirit, come. Land on us, God. Land on us, God. Whew, Jesus, I thank you. Holy Ghost, I thank you. God, you're awesome today. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, God, I pray. Wow. I really believe there's a place where God's drawing us as a body. You feeling that? It's messing me up in a good way. God's calling us to something more. You know that, church. God's calling us to something more. There's something higher. There's something deeper. There's something stronger. God's calling us to a place, and that place is intimacy. We're going to find that in a secret place. If you're feeling empty, it's because there's something out there called fullness that's placed to draw on you. Do you understand what I just said? The only way you can know that you feel empty is because there's something out here called full. I was poor as a kid, but the only reason I knew I was poor as a kid is because I found some people who were rich. And I realized they had something I didn't have. If all I ever did was hang out with a bunch of other poor kids like me, then none of us would have known we were poor. If them rich brats hadn't come along. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You only know poor because you know there's something out there that's not poor. You only feel empty because there's something out there called full. God's placing a draw on you to fullness. God's placing a draw on us to fullness. Oh, I could preach right now. God's placing a draw on us to fullness. And when I think about it, I'm being drawn to fullness. I want fullness. Why? Because fullness wants me. I got something inside of me that's rising up that says, man, if there's something more, I'm after it. And if I haven't found it yet, I'm going to pursue it until I do. Hope you hear that. Yeah. But I'm telling you, there's something inside of us that's putting a draw on us. I'm in pursuit of it, and it's in pursuit of me. And I don't know about you, but I want to get caught. Yeah. One of my biggest prayers is, God, I'm chasing you. I hope you catch me. I think you understand that, because I've got news for you. If you're chasing God, there's a good thing to know. He's chasing you. Catch me, God. That's a good prayer. I believe that with everything in me. See, the preacher in me is just getting wound right now. But I'm telling you, I feel Jesus in the house in a major way right now. There's just something there. And I'm telling you, man, it's all about intimacy. It's the seed of intimacy. And God's calling us to that. Do you understand that Adam and Eve had intimacy in the garden? They had intimacy with God in the garden. There was an intimate place in the garden. I don't even know how long it was until they ate of the tree that they shouldn't have ate of. But what I found was, what was the tree called? The tree of knowledge. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. We talked about that earlier in last week. But the idea is that there was a place called intimacy, and they actually traded intimacy for knowledge. Do you understand what the church did years back? I'm not being harsh, I'm not being critical, but I really believe that there was a place where the church operated in intimacy, and in that intimacy there was incredible power and giftings, and God was flowing and moving, and then we got after knowledge. I'm not being critical. Please don't hear. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with knowledge, but don't ever sacrifice intimacy for knowledge. At one point in my life, I had 730 some books in my library. I kept buying more bookshelves because I kept buying more books. I had all kinds of books. You know what happened to me? Pride. I got really proud of my library. I'd bring other minister friends in. I'd show them my library. You know why? I had a lot of books in my library. Old preachers would die. Guess who got their books? I did. Because I went to their wives and said, hey, what are you doing with all those books? Because I wanted them. And they knew I was hungry. So they said, oh, we're going to bless you. And you know what I was doing? I was building a library full of pride. I had all these books. And one day I was in my office. It's a true story. I was in my office and I'm praying. And I'm studying some things out. And I'm reading my Bible. And then as I'm reading, I'm praying, just kind of spending some time with God. And I thought about something. I thought, oh, I'll bet that's it. And I started going over through my library, looking through the books. The Lord said, what are you doing? It was real clear. You know how sometimes, can I say this? Sometimes God talks to you and then sometimes God speaks to you. Does that make sense to anybody? This was one of them real clear defined moments. And God said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to look some stuff up in the book. And he said, what do you got all them books for? What do you got all them books for? And he challenged my heart and I knew where he was going. But how many know, even when you know where God's going, you try to avoid it? Come on, some of you have been there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And as I was talking to God about all them books, I started telling them books. I was like, all them books because I want to learn more about you. And what I found was, this is where the Lord rebuked me. He said, you're spending hours in those books and minutes in mine. Do you understand what I just said? He said, you're spending hours in those books and minutes in mine. He said, all those books were only supposed to be a help so that you can understand my book. But if you can't spend time in my book, all those books won't matter. Because all you're getting now is somebody else's revelation. I want to give you your own. You know what I learned? Knowledge, intimacy. Oh, I don't know if you got that or not, because the Pentecostal church would have shouted. Knowledge was in them bookshelves. Intimacy was in this book. Yeah. And that's what God was teaching me in that moment. Don't ever trade knowledge for intimacy. I come back and I'm going to say this one more time. We're going to pray and close out, but I'm speaking to your hearts right now. You could spend weeks and weeks and weeks in a class that's like this over and over. Get all kind of knowledge and leave here totally unchanged. Don't let that be said of you. This is not for you to gain knowledge. This is for you to gain revelation and intimacy. So you can understand who you are, so you can be intimate with the Father who brought you to this place. Please hear that. I don't know if I'll be back to teach with you guys. I think Pastor Dan pretty much has the rest of the time, if I remember right. But I wanted you to understand something that's so big in my heart. You can gain all the knowledge in the world and be totally unchanged. But in a moment of intimacy, it could change your life forever. Oh, that was really good. Yeah. I should quit now. Okay. but you need to hear that, okay? You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. God, teach us what it looks like to get intimacy with you. Because that's what I believe. There's a phrase that God dropped in my heart a while back, and I preached a series on it for a couple of years. I preached several times the same series. But it's called Out of Intimacy. And out of intimacy, we destroy the works of the devil. Yeah. Do you understand that phrase? It's out of intimacy that we can go forth and destroy the works of the devil. Out of intimacy, you will crush darkness. Out of intimacy. Come on, because it's in the secret place that he's revealing his secrets. I believe today it's been a catalyst for some of you. When we prayed, I will tell you, when we paired off and prayed all over this place, Spirit of God was here. And I honestly believe, I feel it right now. Like both of the hairs on my head are standing. But there's a place right now where God is speaking to us. I'm telling you, man, catalyst. Let's know who we are and flow in who God made us to be. Not comparing ourselves to one another, but saying, God, I thank you. I might not be the foot, but I'm the best hand I can be. Y'all understand what I just said? Teach us that, God. That's huge to me right now. You okay with that? My heart's really moved. Thanks for being with us these past few days. Let me pray for you one more time because it's just really in my heart. And we'll dismiss and let's see what God does. Okay? You might want to share with some folks around. There's some people that you know about the next coming school because I'm going to start advertising at the end of the week and put it out there on the internet and some different things. But I'm pretty excited about that. I think that's going to be a really good time as well. But I'm encouraged and trust that you're encouraged and with the great desire, God, I want to be the best me I can be. Amen. I'd like to sing like Vicky. Yeah. But people would really look at me weird if I sounded like her. So God didn't call me to sing like Vicky. But I want to be the best me I can be. Does that make sense? Oh, I hope you're hearing my heart in that. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, God, that in a place of intimacy, you will draw us. You will teach us, and we will grow because of it. Father, I thank you for your love, your grace, and your goodness. Everything inside of us cries out, and we say, God, we so want you. God, we so want you. God, we so desire your heart. May our heart reflect your heart. May our lives reflect your life. And God, that we would find ourselves looking more like Jesus all the time. Holy Spirit, I welcome you right now. And Father, we're just asking you to come in an amazing way. Teach us, God, I pray. Teach us what it looks like. Teach us what it looks like to model after you. God, I thank you that you are raising up men and women with a passion to be the very best they can be. God, I thank you for the passion that's in them. And I'm praying, God, that it'll only grow and increase. May it be a time of great acceleration in the body of Christ as we pursue the Christ in us. Teach us, Lord, I pray, and help us that we would find ourselves compelled to get to the secret place. Like there's such a draw in our heart, God. It's like, no, I can't turn on the TV. No, I'm not picking up the cell phone. No, I'm not going over to the DVR. But God, I'm going into the secret place with you because that's what I'm hungry for. Give us a hunger and a thirst that's greater than we've ever seen before. That we would be those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, because you said if we do, we'd be filled. So God, we bless that right now and we thank you for it. And I'm asking you, teach us, show us, and help us and encourage us as we pursue you with the knowledge that you're pursuing us. We bless that today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Bless you. Thanks for being with us. Before we do this, and before I dismiss, I didn't see you come back in. And Shane, did you have something? Is it relevant? Are we okay? Yeah. Buddy, you want to grab that microphone for her? She's got the baby. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. All right. I wanted to honor that, and I knew I'd passed over that. I felt like we were in a moment, but I want to come back. Go ahead. That's great.
We started out with intimacy, and then we got into the giftings, and then back into this. And something that you said really spoke about, you know, being the hand and the foot and the best, you know. And when you said, it was really quick you said it, but just that we are born because we are in his image. We are born with the capacity for all things.
Absolutely.
And that he sent his son, who was all things, to show us a picture of what everything could be 100%. Healing, words of knowledge, compassion, everything was in that one. But what makes it so special, and back to that intimacy, is that those things, he picks each one of us individually to do that because of relationship with him, and then to manifest that in each other. So it just seems so beautiful to me that those things then turn to edify each other, even though we have the capacity to do it all.
Isn't
the
amazing?
Right thing at the right time for each other.
Absolutely. And he brings us together and places us in the body as it pleases him. I'm going to preach it Sunday morning. I'm going to preach this Sunday morning. Okay, so if you want to come back, we'll revisit some of this because it's so in my heart right now. And I'm going to come back. We're going to preach it on Sunday morning. But tomorrow you have Pastor Dan. You have to put up with him. I think that's a good thing. Okay, get him on. And then he'll be here tomorrow and Thursday. So excited about good things, man. God bless you. Thanks for being with us. You're dismissed. Okay.
There's bread in the social hall if you guys want to grab a loaf of bread when you leave.
Come on, man. It's like Bethlehem. House of bread. Okay. Did we do all right?